Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Ron Carson, here together with Ursula Rudenberg, and we have another co-host today, Brian Dudley.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here.
Hello, Ron. Hello, Brian. And hello to you, the listener. We are going to jump right into today's show because we have a lot of topics. We have a full show. Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, will be with us in the second half of the hour of the show to bring an update from the City of Ames. We always welcome her presence, and she's going to tell us what to expect in the next few weeks. And during the first half of the hour, we have music correspondents here. Ron and Brian are going to introduce us to some good local music. You've done a great job out in the field, guys, and it's a pleasure to have you in the studio. So we like to have music on Fridays when possible on Local Talk, so enjoy. Ron and Brian, take it away. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and you are listening to Ames band Dr. Murdoch. I'm one of your hosts today, Ron Carson, together with Brian Dudley. Musicians of sorts ourselves, both Brian and I want to take you behind the scenes to see how other local musicians of note operate. Recently, we found the Ames band Dr. Murdoch in their basement jam room in the fabled Drum House by downtown Ames, doing what they love to do, which is composing and polishing new songs.
Not all the band members live there, but they all meet up in the basement to create and refine their music. This is their natural environment, and it's part of their story. We immediately began recording audio for our KHOI listeners to show what goes on in rehearsal with a band that composes their own music. All the members contribute to the compositions, and they refine the compositions by jamming them out in this dingy basement. Dingy because the drum house is an old house, and old houses have dingy basements. The air in the room is humid and warmed by the tubes of the amplifiers. Surely no one in their right mind would choose to spend time in these dank confines, but they do. This is where the magic happens. You see, the drum house is just what young bands need. Cheap rent due to the large number of roommates and a basement jam room.
Dr. Murdoch is a popular Ames band noted for their driving rhythms, layered psychedelic guitar, innovative bass tones, and orchestral thematic jams. Dr. Murdoch is currently comprised of Ben Fletcher Foster on guitar and vocals, Jose Mendez on drums, and Will LaPietra on guitar, and their most recent member, Adam Lyons, on bass and vocals. The band's been in existence since spring of 2011 and has been in its current form for about 2 years. They're a hard-working band, and every performance is spirited. There's real chemistry to this band, and that's what makes them intriguing. We attempted to learn more about the internal workings of Dr. Murdoch by infiltrating one of their bi-weekly practices to watch them working out some new, nameless songs. Even though these songs were still in utero, the songs went through distinct movements, some being developed on the fly. We were witnessing the evolution of songs, one that may be fully developed and make it to the set list and recordings.
What was that?
I did not know that existed until...
Yeah, we just made that up.
That's a song that we're jamming on right now. Just kind of loosely playing it and playing out ideas. That's what
Does
that
it
was.
Have a name?
No, definitely not.
Yes, it's an idea that soon will become a song. As they all do.
It's like a fetus of a song.
Am I wrong? Some songs die a stillbirth, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Hopefully
yeah,
that
yeah.
Is.
Is
there
aborted? Yeah.
Oh my god.
We support all of those decisions, though.
We support the decision to do whatever you want with your song.
Yes.
Keep it, raise it, abort it. You know, it's your song.
Musician's choice.
Adopt it, yeah. There's some other people that can do some really good things.
Give it to the rival band, say this is going to be it.
There are no rival bands, Ron.
No.
Yes.
No such thing.
We're all chasing the same dream.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and you're listening to Ames Band Dr. Murdoch. I'm one of your hosts today, Ron Carson, together with Brian Dudley, musicians of sorts. Both Ryan and I want to introduce you to some of the other local musicians in the area. We got a little glimpse of Dr. Murdoch's ethos from Adam. That was Adam saying, there are no rival bands. We're all chasing the same dream. It's an attitude of community instead of rivalry. But when you consider that they play shows with, you know, three, perhaps four other bands, you understand why they learned that cooperation benefits everybody. We heard them discuss the development of their songs as if they are musical fetuses which must be nurtured. Not every conception becomes a full-blown song. Some die along the way and are abandoned. Who knows how far this idea for a song will go? That time will tell. But now, let's listen to the audio of a song that is further along in its incubation.
Does have a name. It's called tentatively it's called Violent Violins, kind of taken from the lyrics as of right now.
Yeah. And the violins.
Yes, and all the violins that we had going on there.
Good violin playing, everybody.
Yes. Will does most of our violin tracks.
I play an electric bass violin.
That song, Violent Violins, is brand new, and I've heard them play that at Lefty's in Des Moines recently and maybe a couple other times, but it's pretty new, and I think it's a pretty cool opportunity to be able to hear a band developing a song. That's a pretty rare opportunity, and, like, you know, from a musician perspective, it's neat to hear a band, you know, in the middle of arranging a song. It's like, this may or may not be the final version. They're exploring it, you know, and it's kind of neat to have an opportunity to do that. They're going to be playing, a full set of music tonight at DG's Tap House for anyone who's interested in coming out and checking that out. And it's a show focused on the Ames People Facebook group. There's a whole festival basically designed around that. So there's going to be like a whole bunch of bands playing, and Dr. Murdoch is one of the headliners for that show. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We're your musical host for today, Ron Carson. I'm Brian Dudley, introducing you to some local artists of note. We want to thank Dr. Murdoch for their unknowing cooperation in bringing KHOI listeners sound from the underground. Dr. Murdoch's performing tonight, Friday, August 7th, at DG's Tap House on Main Street in Ames, right around the corner from KHOI. We hope the knowledge we have provided on how those songs came into being in that dank cellar in an old house, the Drum House, can enhance your appreciation of their performance. We're leaving Dr. Murdoch now to talk to Garrett Adams of Stewardesses, who composes and performs electronic music as a solo act. His process, of course, is quite a bit different than a band like Dr. Murdoch. It was a relief to get above ground again. We knocked on Garrett's door to find Garrett and five friends in his living room playing music on acoustic guitars and a melodica. We retreat to his bedroom where his electronic rig is set up.
So. Garrett Adams of Stewardesses. We're in your bedroom here, and you're going to show me
your gear that you've got laid out. You've got a lot of stuff here. Why don't you tell me about it?
All right, so my main rig for live performance is going to be the SP555, which is a sampler that literally records any type of sound that you can get. I mean, whether it's from a guitar or a keyboard, or you can sample outside sounds via microphone or whatnot. But I use that to layer all of my sounds, and then I've got a Korg keyboard. And that I just use for playing leads and fills and things like that in between songs and transitions. Outside of the live performance, there's the Rhythm Wolf drum machine, Lisa's performance pad. I've got a mixer, and then something kind of strange is we got a 4-track tape recorder that I'll use to kind of layer sounds and mix sounds with. And if I find something that I like, you know, I'll take it down and record it and then use it for live performance via the sampler. But from there, yeah, so we've got all these instruments that really come down to being played live by the sampler itself, which is kind of the driving force of whatever I end up playing.
So you're doing this in real time, is that correct?
Yep. I mean, this sampler provides a lot of room for improv, and I mean, on this sampler right now, I probably have 9 or 10 songs and all the sounds loaded onto it, and they're all at the same tempo and the same key. So that kind of gives you limitless opportunities to mix between songs, mash them up in different ways. All the sounds are in the same vein, you know, they're the same tempo, they're the same key. So you can just mix all day.
Well, I see a 16 key keypad here. Is that what you operate this with?
Yeah. So there's 16 sounds per bank, and there's 9 banks. I don't know math, but that's a lot of sounds. I don't know, man. But, I mean, you know, you've got one sound. So when I write songs, I usually try to figure out a good beat that I like, but we're going to have, obviously, a percussion sound, which is going to be the driving force of the song, and then we're going to have a bass line and then a rhythm track. So, for instance, like, you know, we've got... It's pretty simple. There's the main beat of the song.
I see how that works together now.
And the rhythm. So you can come up with multiple melodies, or you can play it on a keyboard, or you can have a singer come in and they can write something over the top of this. It's pretty simple. It's, you know, it's very steady. It's pretty accessible. But then with just those main parts, there's all kinds of little things you can add, like other little embellishments and fun things, you know.
Little fills and such.
And, you know, the, like, delayed drum in the back, too, you know, it's just, like, kind of adds to the repetitiveness of the beat, but in turn kind of makes you flow with it, you know, it has this, like, carry-on sort of, like, delay to it. It makes it kind of earthy to just repetitive computer sounds, which this is really what it is, because it's all organic instruments coming through a computer. So you have organic, it's processed, and then becomes electronic. And it's played in a way, too, where I can improvise. I don't have to play a full track. I don't have to DJ a track where I'm playing it through a DJ's instrument. I don't have to be DJing. It's a very organic way of playing, and you can add effects to everything in real time too. I mean,
sounds like you're running it through a discombobulator.
Basically. I mean, samples from anywhere. Like, this particular sample is just from friends hanging out in the other room, like you saw. Well, I walked out there laughing really hard about something. I took my video camera out. I took a quick video of everybody, you know, having a good time. That's always fun to watch.
Found audio.
Yeah.
Found objects.
I mean, it's great. You can take anything from anywhere and add it to something else.
Well, I've known about samplers for a long time, but I haven't seen anybody go as far with making the music as you are doing here.
Yeah, I mean, like I was telling you earlier, is a graduation from high school present. It took me about like a year and a half or 2 years to even come up with anything that you could call a song. It took me a really long time. And again, it's just kind of figuring out what you want to do. I mean, there's multiple opportunities with just the pads on here and the banks for one sound. So like I said, you can write your guitar part and be like, okay, yeah, this is cool. This sounds nice for a verse. What would be a bass line that would sound good for it? Oh yeah. Okay. Lay it down. You can record it. And then you can come up with a fun drum beat via playing a drum pad, playing a live drum set, or just looking on the computer, you know, and finding like, okay, here's some stock. Lay it down. You have an entire song there for your verse. Then just go ahead and make a chorus, make another verse, make a bridge, and you have an entire song. I mean, it's fun. And then what I can do here is I can mix it up and play it differently every single time that I play. And that's where not necessarily playing the guitar parts or the bass parts or the keyboard parts. I've already laid that down. I've already come up with that. But the live part comes from being able to manipulate the sounds and make a beat drive a little bit harder this time, or like make a little bit more minimal that time. It's, you know, you can do whatever you want on the fly, but you have what you want. You have your songs recorded already.
So you introduce a lot of aesthetics to it, little compositional tweaks when you get to the performance.
Right, yeah. Like I said, the funnest part for me is the transitions between songs. I kind of know how the song is going to go. I can add a little bit here and there for different parts if I'm feeling it and want to make this part a little bit harder. But the hard part and the fun part comes in the transition of the songs, because that's going to be different every single time. I never know what songs I'm going to play or the order even, but it just kind of comes to me while I'm playing, and then that becomes the improv portion of the sets. I mean, the transitions are about as long as the songs. So,
but it does add to the immediacy of the performance.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm in a different mood every time I play a show, so the mood of the song should, you know, suit it, whether that's good or bad. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Well, thank you for showing me that. I wanted to ask, this isn't the only thing you do in your life. You're involved with the Ames Community Arts Council, is that correct?
Yeah, I was on the board of directors for a while now. I'm a member, and they're currently supporting and promoting the next Rebirth Ames Arts and Music Collaboration Show. This will be the third edition of the show. And what we do is we aim to promote both visual artists and musicians of our town. We have poetry slams, we have the gallery showing, as well as shows that follow at DG's or at IMS, depending on the night. So we have our next show the last weekend of October and the first weekend of November. Oh, of course, yeah, we've had a lot of experimental artists. This time we have an experimental filmmaker from New York contributing to a show to finish out the entire Rebirth Festival with a film fest.
All that in a movie.
Yeah, and we've got a live music production to the film as well. I remember those days, yeah. Yeah, back in the day.
Well, thank you for telling me about your Rebirth event that's coming up.
I mean, every single time, the only aim is to make it better and make it bigger. So the last event was huge. This
will be huger.
Huger, yeah, definitely. And it starts on Hallows Eve. We got our masquerade at DG's that night. Rest up. Just start resting now, I guess.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we have been treated to some great music courtesy of our fly-in-the-wall Friday music reporters, Ron Carson and Brian Dudley. Thank you so much for that. and please come back and do it again soon. Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, has joined us with an update from the City of Ames. Welcome, Susan.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you here for a monthly check-in and to just find out what's going on in the city, and thank you for doing this. So tell us what's in store for August and the upcoming months or weeks.
Well, sure. There's always a lot going on in the City of Ames, and August will be no exception. Probably one of the most visible, biggest things we have starts on Tuesday, August 11th, and that is the dismantling of the water tower on North Dakota. A lot of people have grown up or are familiar with that water tower. It's kind of an icon or a landmark, and I hear from our West End neighbors that that's how they direct people around their part of town. So we're sad to see it go, but
Susan, can I make a confession here?
Sure.
It's not my confession, but certain young people that I knew in when I was a teenager, I never did this, but I knew people that did. They would go swimming in that tower.
Wow. I'm not sure how that would even be possible.
They figured it out. It was a thing in the 1970s to go swimming in that tower up by North Dakota.
So really, the idea that it might become a liability has already been recognized, sadly. We are going to be able to recycle it. We have a company coming in who is going to disassemble and scrap, use the scrap metal. And so, again, it has been decommissioned for almost a decade. When we did some expansions, some other water towers were built that were better able to serve the community based on their location and really actually based on their height. Mm-hmm. Water towers are all about location and height and water pressure. And so this tower is being taken down, and it will be the site will be restored just to green space. The city will maintain it. We don't anticipate it being developed or anything. So it'll be a nice asset for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I know that people already play with their dogs in that area, just walk through it. And so we hope that people will enjoy this space as well. Mm-hmm. And clearly, taking the tower down is not going to be instant. It will take several days to do it. They'll start on Tuesday, August 11th. Of course, this is all weather dependent. You cannot work on these things if there's lightning in the area. But people in the area may notice some loud noises. Those come with the equipment that they use. They have some air pressure release that makes some loud noise that won't happen too early in the morning, but could happen throughout the day. Apparently, they're connected with heat. As it gets warmer in the day, you might hear this release mechanism go off more often.
So presumably the water has already long been emptied out of the tower.
It has not been used for 10 years. And
10
so
years.
Nobody will experience any water shutoffs during this. So it's mm-hmm. just a matter of – it's really kind of cleanup at this point. We wanted to remove the tank before it actually became a liability, before it became unstable. And so mm-hmm. this was an opportunity to do so.
Okay. Well, it's an end of an era.
Yeah. And it really will be very visible. Obviously, the company itself, they do this in other communities as well. And they do expect people to come and watch. We at Channel 12 will be doing video of this. So we will hopefully get a time lapse of the tower coming down for mm-hmm. for our viewers on Channel 12. Some other things just to think about. We have a public meeting coming up on August 17th from 5 to 7 p.m. It's really an open house. It's an opportunity for residents to provide us input on prioritizing pedestrian control improvements at our intersections. This all goes back to being an ADA-compliant community. I think people are probably starting to see the new pedestrian controls, basically push-button controls that are maybe detached from the traffic signal and on their own post. These posts and the controls on them must clue a sight-impaired person which direction they should be crossing the intersection, and it gives them audible direction. And I know the first time people use that, it kind of surprises them, where you can hear the names of the streets being mm-hmm. announced. You can hear somebody telling you it's safe to cross or you can walk now. And so we have money budgeted over the next several years to begin these improvements. As traffic signals are being updated already in our calendar, they are automatically improved with this ADA compliant feature. But for the rest of the traffic signals that are not going to be improved in the schedule, we are asking for input on how we should pick and choose those ones that need to be converted.
So presumably you're in a way asking for people where they feel the most urgent need
Absolutely.
And to point those areas out to you.
Yeah, if you want to see a, kind of get an example of what these would be, 13th and Stang, when mm-hmm. they did traffic signal improvements to that area, they put those in. 13th and Duff is another location where they put those in. Those were part of scheduled traffic improvements. Grand and 28th Street has them. And so there's a whole schedule of traffic signals. They have a lifespan, and we have them on a schedule for replacement. But this prioritization would be extra. Mm-hmm. This is a sort of a separate stream of money being used to go in and get those changed over more quickly. So we would like input. Again, you can come to that open house from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday, August 17th. Or if it's easier, you can go online to cityofames.org/pedestrians and just take the survey. It does ask you to pick out of a list of intersections your top 10.
And again, on the event, that's it would be at City Hall?
I'm sorry. Yes, that is at City Hall, room 135. It is a come and go. There's not a formal presentation. Mm-hmm. You would come in, get information about the intersections, maybe see them on maps, and then submit information on which ones you think are the most important.
So you're the ones using the city streets, so give the city input.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a money set aside through, I think, a five-year plan. There's $150,000 mm-hmm. to change these over. It's to speed it up so we become in compliance sooner rather than dragging this out and waiting till a traffic light comes up for improvement. This way we can continue to turn over those intersections. And we know that these improvements are helpful for people mm-hmm. who struggle with their sight or some kind of disability. It's very helpful for them to have these, and we like to consider ourselves a transportation-friendly city for whatever kind of transportation you choose to use, and we know we need to make improvements in that area, so this helps.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Some other things. You know, I know it seems awfully early, but we already have started to get calls on Yard Waste Free Day. As people start planning their fall and looking ahead, we get those questions on when are those days. And just to refresh your memory, the Yard Waste Free Days are the 4 days in the fall the city sets aside and works with a vendor. And this year it's Chamness Technology, which it has been for several years, which is off University Boulevard. But we work with a vendor to offer yard waste drop-off service at no charge to Ames residents. And this year it will be a little tricky because most of you know that University Boulevard's under construction.
Mm-hmm.
It is open and you will be able to take your yard waste through there, but you may expect some delays getting through the traffic, the construction zone.
So let's talk about streets.
Oh, can I just tell you those dates? Those dates are on our website.
Pushing you here.
And they are October 24th, November 7th, November 21st, and December 5th. And I know that might seem like a stretch, October 24th all the way to December 5th, but those are non-football Saturdays. They are 8 to 4 p.m., and they give what we've noticed is that sometimes it takes a long time for all the leaves to actually leave the tree. So some people will see all their leaves on the ground in October or November, and some other people say they're not, you know, it's almost December and they're not down. So this gives an opportunity to spread those out.
And Susan, for somebody who might not know exactly what that is, just can you describe what exactly happens?
With Yard Waste Free Day?
Yes.
Okay, so you are asked to bag your leaves up. Most people throw them in the trunk of the car or a pickup truck. They take them out to the site, Chamness Technology, south of Ames on University Boulevard. You do have to drive on gravel. You get to the site, and they have staff there to direct you onto their site, and you basically just throw your bags. Throw your bags and you circle around the site and you're on your way out. Now, there can be a line and you can have to wait for a little bit. And sometimes you just zip right in and zip out. It just it just depends on what time of day you go.
Okay, so let's talk about streets.
Oh, streets. My favorite subject. Lots and lots of construction. A lot of our construction projects are simply moving forward. There have been many, many rain delays. It's been a rather wet mm-hmm. summer. And when it has rained, it's almost been like a deluge. There's been a lot of rain, and that has caused some problems in delays. In after the rain stops, you have to wait for the sites to drain or dry out. So,
how's Lincoln Way coming?
Well, Lincoln Way is moving along. There's a lot of resurfacing work being done on Lincoln Way, sort of in the corridor. And the way I describe it is if you were driving on Grand and you got to Lincoln Way and you were going to head west, so you're starting at the credit union and you're kind of moving towards the west, As you get towards what I call the tree names, the elms and the oaks and that, you're going to have to switch over to one side of the street. And for the longest time, you've been on the north side of Lincoln Way. It's been two-way traffic on the north side of Lincoln Way. Well, beginning Monday, August 10th, we will switch and we'll drive on the other side of the street. Oh, I think I got that wrong. You've been driving on the south lanes. Now you'll drive
That's
on the
right.
north lanes.
That's right. So progress is being made.
Progress is being made. So we're ready to switch over. It makes it tight through that corridor. We want people to drive slowly. We have noticed that people are driving quickly through construction zones. That makes it dangerous for everybody. People really need to slow down. But that's the big one. Monday, August 10th, that switchover will happen, and you'll find yourself driving on the north lanes of Lincoln Way with two-way traffic, head-to-head traffic. And then when you get to University Boulevard around that area, it will spread back out. You'll split back into your regular lanes. And that also seems to throw people. That mm-hmm. happens at the light there mm-hmm. at University and Lincoln Way, where you switch back into your regular lane of traffic.
And how long do you think that it'll be?
It's a couple more weeks. It takes them a while to get those lanes resurfaced. There's some infrastructure work, some sewer work they want to work on. And these are opportunities for improvement. Sometimes you discover things that when the street's up and you're working on one part of it, the pavement part, you can actually look and do some fixing on some other things. So we always figure a couple of weeks. And the best way to keep posted on that is to go to our Facebook page at City of Ames or go to our website, cityofames.org/construction.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else with the streets?
Those projects just keep coming along. We have had some feedback on 13th and Stang that the light signals don't seem to function like they used to. And just an update on that, mm-hmm. those traffic lights are in a what they call default mode. And they have not been programmed to really – they're gathering data right now on traffic flow patterns. They didn't want to program those until school's back in session, so we really get a sense of how the traffic will flow. And so they seem a little quirky right now. You don't necessarily get the protected turn signal like you used to as long as you used to. You still get a protected turn signal, but if you were used to it lasting a little bit longer, it doesn't. It's a default mode, and it is not necessarily reacting – to the traffic flow, the peaks and the low spots that we see, but it will. So just be patient with that one.
Okay. Thank you. Any other streets closing or?
Well, you never know. The one that is kind of out there that will
it is
be
summer.
Well, one that we do have on the calendar to start after 24th Street is some improvements to Bloomington Road up north. And that one will not even start until 24th Street is finished, which is an east-to-west kind of arterial street. So we'll wait on that one. But I expect that one to start in the fall. And also the 6th Street Bridge mm-hmm. will probably start by November is what we're hoping for at this point. So there'll be some traffic detours at that point.
And that's the bridge coming into Brookside Park
yep.
if you're driving west, the one that goes over the Squaw Creek?
Absolutely. And that one, there will be no vehicles allowed through there. So you'll have to detour. If you take that way into the university, you're going to have to think of a new path. We will have bikes and pedestrians detoured through the park, so that will be better for them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, now you told me earlier that you actually are getting questions about Halloween.
Yeah, we are getting questions about Halloween. It is a big holiday for a lot of people. And obviously, if you have children, you want to make sure you're around on that day. For 2015, on the actual Halloween date of October 31st, there is an Iowa State home football game. And we have found that that does not work out well for Beggar's Night or trick-or-treating. And so this year in Ames, trick-or-treat night will be Friday, October 30th, with recommended hours from 5:30 to 7:30. So if you have children or you love to hand out candy, mark your calendar now, Friday, October 30th, from 5:30 to 7:30 for trick-or-treating in Ames.
Okay. All right. So Halloween.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. And a more recent thing, if you have small children, you might want to think about is Ames schools go back in session October 24th. And I think, I'm sorry, did I say October? August.
August 24th.
August 24th and August 27th for Gilbert. And at that time, we start kind of ratcheting down hours at Furman. And this does catch people off guard who don't have kids in the school district. They are used to coming to events, to an open pool that's open during the day.
By Furman, you mean the aquatic? aquatic center.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's the swimming. So if you're a swimmer that likes to swim throughout all the way to the end of the season, which is Labor Day, please make sure to check the Furman Facebook page, check the Furman hotline phone number, which, of course, I can't remember right now, but or check our City of Ames website. It will tell you what the reduced hours are for Furman. And, again, just with weather, we always ask people to check with the facility before arriving to avoid disappointment. Those hours are in flux as we get into August, but the facility always stays open until Labor Day. Labor Day is always the last day of the season.
Okay. All right. And then, Susan, we had a fire here recently. Can you tell us what happened and just give us some?
Sure. We did have a fire yesterday, fortunately. It was in North Ames. Nobody was hurt on Laurel Street. It was a fire in the bedroom, which is a little unusual because typically you associate fires with fireplaces or stoves. And this one was electrical in nature. And it was the residents were alerted to the fire by smoke detectors, and they had working smoke detectors in the home. Everybody exited. Nobody was injured. But it was contained. The firefighters arrived, were able to contain, extinguish the fire, contain the damage. But, of course, fires with the smoke, it was about $20,000 estimated damage. That's significant. That will be a disruption to these homeowners' lives for a while. But the message here is that the smoke detectors alerted them early. They were able to get out of the house. They were able to contact the fire department. And we don't think a lot about fire safety in the summer, maybe not as much in our homes as we should. There's fire safety is always an issue you should think about. And we do remind people at least twice a year with daylight savings to check their smoke alarms. But there's no reason not to check them more often. They really do save lives. Your chance of dying in a fire is cut in half if you live in a home with working smoke detectors. So I think that statistic is pretty impressive, and it just takes a few minutes to check your smoke detectors, make sure that they're operating. If they have battery backup, make sure those batteries are working. Don't take the batteries out to play a video game. You want to keep those. It's an important safety feature of your house. And, we see it. It does make a difference. So, again, just another reminder, check those smoke detectors.
When my father turned 90, which was 5 years ago now, he had a birthday cake with maybe not 90 candles on it, but a lot of candles. And when we lit the birthday cake and everybody sang happy birthday, and then the surprise grand finale was the smoke detector went off.
I'm not surprised.
So it was great.
Yeah, ending. Some of them are very sensitive, which I think is good. You'd rather be safe than sorry.
Well, the temptation is that smoke detectors are very annoying when they start to run out of battery because they start to make a lot of noise to tell you. And then the temptation is just to take the damn batteries out to shut them up. And I guess the idea is not to do that, but to really replace the batteries.
Well, you put them in your pocket and take them to the store and get some new ones.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else, Susan, that we should talk about?
Well, just a reminder from our police department, as school gets back into session, we want drivers to be a lot more alert. This is a time of year when there's a lot of children out, and children often are not paying attention to drivers. So drivers need to be the eyes and ears for those children. We ask you, please, put the cell phones away, particularly if you're driving near school areas. We do extra traffic enforcement. We have extra police officers that patrol the school areas. They're really looking out for your children's safety. And then this year, we have some what are called dynamic feedback speed signs that we're installing around a couple of areas in Ames. These are little this is equipment that is under a speed limit sign that will tell you how fast you're driving. So one of those is up. It's up on Hayes Avenue right now. It is not hooked in yet, but as you drive down Hayes, which is a street that people often speed on, which is near the Ames High School, it will give you some feedback on how fast you're going. So hopefully that will be a visual reminder to slow down. It's close to – Hayes is close to Ames High, but it's also very close to Fellows. So little ones may be in the area who are just not as good in understanding the rules of the road as others. And so you always have to watch out for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Children very quickly run out in front of cars and don't really think about – what they're doing.
Yeah, and there's so many more parents taking their children to school this year in vehicles. These years, not as many kids drive as – or sorry, not as many children walk as they once did. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot more activity around schools than there used to be. And at several of our schools, there's construction going on. So we need to be especially careful this year.
Mm-hmm. There's also already a lot of trucks driving around Ames with mattresses and furniture on them. When is the real rush time for students
so
moving back
in? So we passed move in, move out. That's usually July, end of July, beginning of August. It was a better year this year. As you know, all the garbage in Ames goes to the resource recovery plant. And I have an interesting statistic. I actually have a photo if you want to look on our Facebook page. I'm going to post that later today. In a 45-minute time frame last Friday, at the height of move-in and move-out day, Resource Recovery Plant took in 14 tons of furniture and mattresses.
Wow.
45 minutes, 14 tons. So a lot of stuff. Now,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Some of that stuff had probably seen – you know, it was on its last leg and ready to go. But we so much encourage students and really all community members to consider donation, to consider swap, to consider sell, and use garbage as the absolute last resort, because that is the type of product that typically does end up at a landfill. It's very difficult mm-hmm. to recycle or to reuse that. It's harder to shred. It's harder on our equipment, and if somebody else can use your couch, you know, it's really better in somebody's home than in a landfill.
So this is people who are moving into their place and they're getting rid of what was there? Is that what's happening?
There's a whole interesting dynamic going on. People are switching apartments. People are leaving. Their lease is running out. They've sublet. I really couldn't tell you, but there is just a lot of activity, a lot of furniture,
mm-hmm.
and just a lot of, I think people run out of time and they mm-hmm. just simply, I can't do anything with it. We have seen really nice furniture and products show up at Resource Recovery that could have been reused by somebody else. And I think people are not giving themselves the time to get that stuff. We have many local agencies that accept donations, other groups that work directly with residents in need who could use working furniture, clothing. I think when people run out of time, this stuff, it's the easiest thing is just to dump, and mm-hmm. it goes into the waste stream. And that probably isn't the best use of those resources.
Well, it sounds like you could organize a day like what you do with the leaves. Mm-hmm. You could organize like a furniture day to bring your old furniture.
Well, you know, Ursula, there are we've been looking at how other cities do. Iowa City does a big event called Rummage in the Ramp. There are community-wide garage sales. We're looking at those because the ability to get rid of stuff and making it easier for any Ames resident to swap out and donate their product would be better for mm-hmm. the environment than having it end up at the resource recovery plant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else that we need to cover before you go? It's really great having you here. I love these sessions where you come and just bring us up to speed.
Well, there's so much going on. I'd love to be able to share. I probably forgot a million things, but again, mm-hmm. people can check our website at cityofames.org or our Facebook page at City of Ames, and we are on Twitter as well.
Okay. And we're speaking with Susan Guiasta from the City of Ames, and she's been bringing us up to speed on what's happening in our city. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. Thank you for joining us today and listening in. And Susan, thank you for coming in. Susan comes in once a month, and we just really love having that session where we find out what's going on in the city. And I have to say, it's really increased my appreciation tremendously of how thoughtful the city government is in terms of really careful planning ahead and trying to think out what is needed, and also in terms of getting feedback on various decisions and actions taken by the city. So,
thank you. That's great to hear.
Really increased my appreciation. I've been one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and Ron Carson and Brian Dudley have been here as well as hosts, and it's been really great to have a music report from them. Thank you, and I hope you'll do that again soon.
We will do that. It's always a pleasure to introduce local artists you might not know about through the magic of KHOI. Today we featured Dr. Murdoch and Garrett Adams of Stewardesses, and we thank them for allowing us to record some of their music and their artistic process that we got an insight into.
Brian, any last words?
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Please come back.
That's
great. On Fridays, we usually bring you a list of presidential candidate appearances in the listening area. And so this week, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, and Jim Webb will be at the Iowa Federation of Labor AFL-CIO Presidential Forum, which is today, Friday, August 6th at 2 p.m. at Prairie Meadows in Altoona. Jeb Bush will be at his headquarters in West Des Moines at 2600 University Avenue, Suite 28, in Des Moines on Saturday, August 8th at noon. Ben Carson will be at Ben Carson Family Festival on Saturday, August 8th, between 5 and 8 p.m. in Des Moines on the Court Avenue Bridge in downtown in Des Moines. Candidates also will be appearing on the soapbox at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines. And here are the appearances listed for this week at the fair. On Thursday, August 13th, Jim Webb will be at 1 p.m. Bernie Sanders will be at 2 p.m. and Ben Carson will be at 4 p.m.
Local Talk is on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m., Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also listen to today's entire Local Talk show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about the people you heard today on the show, along with contact information and links to the people, places, and things we talked about.
Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeest. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. And, Ron, could you tell us some of the other music
we heard? Well, we heard Dr. Murdoch and Garrett Adams. Garrett didn't reveal the name of his composition, and Dr. Murdoch had one unnamed song, yet to be named song, and the other one was Violent Violins by Dr. Murdoch.
Okay, thank you.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, which means you can be part of our team of volunteer reporters. We'll train you and you'll learn and love more about our community than you ever dreamed. If you'd like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. We're going to go out with Belinda Merritt's live music calendar for the next coming days. Thank you for listening. See you again on the radio.
Hello, this is Belinda Merritt, and I have the live music for August 7th through the 13th. On Friday, August 7th, Craig Swalwell Band will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Ames A La Carte, Ames People Local Music Showcase, will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. with the show at 7 o'clock p.m. The Marshall County Hangmen will be at the Old Settlers Festival at the Maxwell City Park Bandshell from 9 o'clock p.m. until 1 o'clock a.m. On Saturday, August 8th, the Burning Sensations will be at Crossroads Tavern's Outdoor Stage, 1790 Giddings Street, Kelly, from 9 o'clock p.m. until 1 o'clock a.m. Saucy Jack will be at the Old Settlers Festival at the Maxwell City Park Bandshell from 9 o'clock p.m. until 1 o'clock a.m. Bombardier will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Sunday, August 9th, the Fiddle Chicks will be at Prairie Moon Winery, 3801 West 190th Street, from 3 until 6 o'clock p.m. Diva and the Deacons will be at Roosevelt School Summer Sundays, 912 9th Street, from 7 until 8:30 p.m. On Wednesday, August 12th, the Kraft Brothers will be at Bike Night at the Tip Top Lounge, 201 East Lincoln Way, from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock p.m. That's all I have for this week. Thank you.